Well, sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Look, I don't have to do this.
You don't have any choice.
I'm trying to help you people. Now, why won't you accept that?
It's in our DNA. You have to do what old man says.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power, Ray.
You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.
Osio, Ginli, Tahiju, Tahigu. Greetings, I'm fine, how are you? And I'm not sure I remember who I am, I've been so busy here this last week, and it's just going to get worse or better. But we don't want to welcome everybody tonight. So we have Susan Stanton once again, and Forrest Liggett, an old buddy, and myself and Mark Borchening. We're going to talk about the restoration of the original ghost dance, the dance of friendship and welcome. And it was established in 1889-90 in that neighborhood. And everybody's mics are live, and I thought, Susan, why don't you start out a little bit, and then I'd like kind of like to have Forrest tell some of his experiences, because he's been to one or two of these. And then Mark had some serious things he wanted to discuss, and So let's just take it from there. How's things going, Susan?
Well, they're coming along. We're getting ready, as you know, for August. And ever since I talked to you the first time, things have, and I don't know if it has to do with you or what. I know Forrest is involved, but things have gone to another level of intensity. And it's like, it's very nice because it doesn't seem to require as much effort as it was before, but the results are a little bit more kind of out there. And so we're just trying to keep up. But the big thing, I guess, that what I would like to just say from my end of it, because I don't know much about the dance of friendship and welcome. I don't know much about the ghost dance. But I do know about honoring the ancestors. And I know that the veil is very thin. It's very thin in our area here. It has been for a long time. I'm sure that it's always been a sacred place. When I first moved here with my husband, Brad, who is Narragansett, we moved here in 2008. And the first home that we lived in, there were spirits everywhere. I'd go down the hallway to the bedroom, somebody would walk out of me. I'd come out into the dining room, somebody would be sitting at the table. And what was really interesting is they didn't seem to notice us. And we made our peace. There was never anything negative about it, but, you know, you have to, it's kind of hard to walk in two worlds. It's better to be more in one than the other. And so we decided where we were going to be, and that's on this side of the veil. But there's been a lot of activity. When Wayne May first came, I believe we met Wayne in 2009, he began to really, through dowsing and other means, identify the mounds. And as he would walk, I would put tobacco down every time he found one. And so just as in Chichen Itza and Palenque and other places down there in the jungle, these mounds began to rise up and take upon them a life of their own. And because of the Curlies, who you'll meet when you come, Blue Otter, they began to buy up the area where the mounds are. They were about to be bulldozed down. In fact, there was the reason I moved here was there was some controversy that one had been already bulldozed down to build a home. And so I got here, and Larry Cooper was the first person that I met. And I had been asked to come and help make peace. And as we worked together, I began to get a greater and greater understanding. I'm originally from Hawaii, although my bloodline is Haudenosaunee. My mother is a Mohawk from Six Nations. But I'm born and raised in Hawaii. My daughter's genealogy has just shown that she has 20% Hawaiian, and she got that from me. So we're kind of a mixed bag of people. But the mounds here have a totally different sense to them. And these are Hopewell mounds. And the Curlies began to buy up the lots where they were located on a bluff above the river to protect them. And they invested all of their retirement money. They're in their 70s. And Jenny looks 29, but they're in their 70s. And they invested all their money, and there were still some mounds left that needed to be protected, so they mortgaged their home. And it was a huge proposition on their part. And as they would buy them, they'd begin to clean them and honor them. And we began to do ceremonies there. And just as in the jungles of South America, Mesoamerica, they began to rise. And where before you could walk up there and see maybe one or two, now they line the road. You can see them everywhere. And they are living and breathing. And people come now from four directions and do ceremonies. And they'll leave dream captures, or they'll leave shields, you know, just little offerings. We have a Hawaiian woman who would come, and she would leave fruit. And so we have just all these people now that are coming up there and just in reverence, just sitting and listening and learning. And it's a beautiful area. And so when we decided to have the honoring of the ancestors gathering, it came about because of this. Hemi Fox had come from New Zealand, and other people had come down from Canada and up from South America, and we just knew that, that this roadway that the Mississippi River is, that there was some reason why there was this awakening here. And so, as I mentioned last time on the show, we have the fertilizer plant across the river. It's Saudi-owned Egyptian contractor. It's huge. And for some reason, none of us knew about it. It's not even, it's 12 miles from my door, but none of us knew about it until it was huge and already up in huge smokestacks, and 10,000 men were here working on it, and it was just really a phenomenal thing. And as we learned more about it, just the implications for what could happen to the river as far as the environment and the people. I have met two electricians who were union laborers. They told me that if anything were to happen, 12-mile radius would be flattened. And, you know, I looked up Iowa fertilizer plant explosions, and I began to really look at this and try to figure out what was going on, what was happening. Well, we had a gathering in September. A little Mohawk grandmother who carries the great law walked down to the river with 20 women. They did a fire ceremony and a water ceremony, and she raised her arm and commanded the plant to fail. Well, I was just posting an article the other day that just within days, 3 or 4 days, they'd had a huge layoff. There was a major multi-million dollar lawsuit levied against the plant. They're way behind schedule, but they are not giving up. Well, and then as I mentioned last time, now less than 2 miles, I'd say a mile and a half at the most, from our house here is the Beacon pipeline that's managed to make its way down from, I believe it's Canada through the Dakotas, temporarily stopped in northern Iowa, but it is still alive and well down here and rapidly being built. And from what I've read, they expect to be fully operational with oil flowing by the end of the fourth quarter of 2016. And I didn't really understand, you know, I thought, wow, you know, I wonder why it's such a big deal, because this little puddle of oil, if anything happened, could it be that bad? And then I realized that it's all the oil flowing from Canada, that if it broke here in the heartland, it would be all over us here. And I started thinking, why is this is so odd? But if you were to take a ruler and draw a line from the fertilizer plant through the dance grounds where we'll be dancing, through the conference center, and straight on down a mile and a half, you'd hit the Beacon pipeline. It's all together here, and I believe that's not a coincidence. And so when I first realized all this, I was just totally aghast, and I called Forrest. And then from there, here we are today. So my desire is that we leave the militant activism where it's already working and going up in northern Iowa, up in the Dakotas, but here where everything seems to be in a tight bottleneck here, we take it to ceremony, because that's the most powerful thing that we can do. We're also in this area surrounded by GMO corn, and I was told that we are to remind the corn who it is. Remind it over and over. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. They can repattern. They can reprogram this manipulation that's happened. We have the pigs that are, pinned down with wire grates for several weeks while they're nursing their babies, so that they don't roll over on them and the farmer or the, not even a farmer, I don't call them farmers, it's too, so that they don't lose their stock. But, you know, I mean, all these terrible things that are happening here, we have foxes who are naked, who are nothing but scab and oozing sores because of they say that it's mange, but none of the dogs have it. I think it's because they're eating the rodents, they're eating the bugs and eating the corn. And it's just so awful. It's so sad. And so I know that there's only one way to turn this around. And I have such faith that with 60 elders coming from the four directions, coming here to do ceremony and prayers, coming to dance, coming with what you're bringing, coming to be here to pray and to call upon Creator, and for us to redo and re-remember to negotiate that contract that we have with the earth and all that lives on her. I know that we will make a difference. And so I want to say how grateful I am that you're coming, that you're giving us this opportunity to bring this out now and to share it and to remind your listeners that everyone is welcome. We will have camping. We have hotels here. We have vacation rentals. We know that there is a great purpose for what this is going to do, and the pipeline goes to Middle Illinois. I don't remember how much it is south of us, but not that far, and it'll be going into three refineries there. So this is the time and this is the place for us to dance and pray and to take it to Creator. I hope we talk to you often. Thank you.
Oh, appreciate it. Things are getting a little edgy, maybe. Oh, that's going to be interesting. And let's switch gears a little bit. Talk with Forrest. Forrest has had quite a bit of experience on the ground. Mine's all theoretical, spiritual. This guy's been there, done that. And so, yeah, why don't you share with us what you've done before, and and then we'll get with Mark. Would like wants to talk to all of us about what he's been seeing and feeling. So, what do you think?
Okay, well, you know, first I'd just like to do a little follow up on what Susan was saying, because it was, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. Getting old, time flies. But Grandfather Hemi Fox came up from New Zealand, and I picked him up at the Kansas City train station, the old Union Station. And he stayed here for a day or two, and he went up to Nauvoo, and they were doing this Blessing of the Mountains ceremony. And then Reuben, Grandfather Reuben, met us up there. So the three of us did ceremony up there, and there was 30 or 40 people there, including the people who actually owned the land. And it was a very powerful ceremony to bless and sanctify that grounds, because the new caretakers. So that land, and the Boy Scouts have been there cleaning off the mounds and doing all this work. It was looking good, and I hear it's looking better now. So from what I understand, these grounds were going to be out this time. We're just about 1 mile away from these mounds. And I know that's sacred ground. But, going back to... these night ceremonies. First one I went to was 1999 with one of your mentors, Robert Ghostwolf. And that was the most powerful ceremony I've ever been in my life. It's what changed my life the second time. I got changed once before, but this changed it again. You got 300 people, and you got all these elders from, the Blackfoot and the Hopi, and Orville Looking Horse was there with the really old original white buffalo calf Chinupa bundle. And for a week, everybody's working in harmony, living together, getting the grounds ready, getting ready for the ceremony, going through the preparations, going through the sweat lodges, going through the purifications. And when the dance starts, 300 people dancing. And this is right at Deep Creek, just to the west. Rocky Mountains start on the other side of the creek. They go straight up on the other side of the creek. And the Joaquinas, the spirit beings, start dancing over the top of the mountains from the west. And then they start dancing here from the east. So I get out of the dance circle and lay down on Mother Earth. And here they come from the west and the south and they're coming from all four directions at the same time. I'm laying on Mother Earth, and Mother Earth starts vibrating and shaking through me. And that's when I learned that Mother Earth is a live, sentient being, not, you know, just a rock. Mother Earth is alive. Is my phone still working? Hello?
Yeah. You're doing fine.
There's okay, my phone's beeping at me. I didn't know why. So anyway, that, and then after the storm blew over, it cleared off, the drum starts up again, we start dancing again, and here comes the full moon with a double rainbow at 2 o'clock in the morning. See how creator's there. And that's what got me onto this, quote, ghost dance path. Yeah. Dance of welcome and friendship. Dance of welcome to the spirits is another name for it. And that is the name, the Dance of Welcome to Spirits, that got the yellow journalists. Like remember those days, you know, a few years back, the newspapers at the checkout line of the grocery stores called yellow journalism had all these outrageous things on the front cover?
Oh, yeah.
That was the same back in those days. So instead of calling it a welcome of a spirit dance, they called it a ghost dance because it sold more copies. Because they had to send those journals out from San Francisco and Kansas City and wherever, out to nowhere. So they had to sell, you know, send, you know, something that's going to sell newspapers. And that's what they called it. It was a ghost dance because it sold more papers. And that's what it's been called ever since. But, you know, you and I know better. We know what it was called originally. Dance of Welcome and Friendship. Welcome of the Spirits. It was a welcome dance. It was a peaceful dance. Yeah. You know, it got changed between the time it went from Walker Lake to the Shoshones to the Lakotas. You know, everything gets changed in interpretation. Look how many times the Bible's been changed. Everything gets changed with interpretation.
Hey, Forrest.
Back? Yes.
Let me call you on your cell. I'm not sure what your...
My land phone is beeping. Oh, hold a second. Let me go to this one here. Hold on.
I wonder. Sometimes they've got...
Okay. All right. Let's try that one. Hello?
Yeah, hello? So can you hear us? We can hear you.
Yeah. Okay, this one's hooked up to an actual wire.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the other one might have been a battery going bad. So.
Yeah,
you're fine.
Yeah, battery's going bad on that one. So, okay, now I'm tethered. I can't go anywhere. But, yeah, that got me hooked on this thing and been to 12 of these dances in northern Idaho and Oklahoma and Missouri, and there's been outstanding manifestations of spirit, every one of them. You always know spirit is there, and it's happy with what you're doing. So I know we've been doing it right, and this one sounds really exciting because you've been working on getting it back to as close to original as possible. So I'm excited about the potential for this one.
Well, I'm glad. It sounds like the intention was right, and you know, and there's still in some circles there is some real resentment, especially where there's a lot of poverty, and but I know there's still you know, even some racism against whites, but I think with the work that Arvel's done and some other people have done, and those voices of the haters, you know, seem to be fading. Things seem to be changing.
Well, I mean, you know, people have been saying this for a long time now. Besides Orville, I mean, you go back to the old Crazy Horse quote. Of course, nobody can prove that Crazy Horse quoted that one. But the basic truth is, if all four races don't get together in that handshake in the middle of the medicine wheel, well, none of us will survive. We have to work together, and basically, you know, first we have to save Mother Earth. We can't save Mother Earth like what's going on up there in Susan's backyard. We'll not survive either. This is a survival thing. We have to help save Mother Earth And we all have to get along like we're actually related. Oh, that Mataki Austin thing?
That's being real.
So, you know, it doesn't matter what color your skin is. Creator sees the color of our heart, the color of our spirit, the color of our chakras, or whatever you want to call it. You know, unless we're working with a pure spirit, an open heart, it doesn't matter what color our skin is.
Amen to that. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Amen. I can start singing. But I'm a terrible singer.
Absolutely. Well, Phil, yeah, anytime you want to chime in, Mark, I know you had some things you really wanted to talk about.
Was there something in particular I said that you were thinking about? Or?
Well, you were just wondering, you know, how far this thing could go. You know, could it become...
Oh. Well, I know that I believe it may be connected to something, related to something years ago that I was told when I was given what amounted to be a growth or a natural extension by the whole life plan of Creator that would take the Mayan Zolk'in into a new Zolk'in, which is what I use on a lot of the birth readings. Kind of call it the Six Sun Zolk'in. And one of the things when you started bringing up this thing about the ghost dance and regional songs and all that, it resurrected what I was originally told. One of the things I was originally suggested for me to do was to take and go and talk to some of the native peoples about doing a dance. And its purpose of the dance and ceremony would be to bring in the new world cycle, the next sun. But it had the same intention as what was the intention of the ghost dance: friendship, welcome, and all that, and forgiveness and healing, and use that as a vehicle, not only as a healing ceremony, but it would also be a birth ceremony for the new world cycle. So it would be like what Forrest was saying about all the colors and all the stuff meeting in the center and unifying together as a seed to grow the next world cycle, to start out that way. Now, in the Mayan tradition, the center of the medicine wheel is green. And if you read in the Popol Vuh in the Book of Creation, when the sun goes away and is coming back, and when you see it again, it's the next world cycle. When you read the Popol Vuh, they're praying their eyeballs out. But in their prayers, there's only one path they mention. They don't mention the red, the white, the black or blue, or the yellow. Not even talked about. They only mention one path, one color, green. It's the center of the medicine wheel. So they're focused on that. And that's the way they try to bring in or try to get the sun to come back. Because if the sun don't come back, you know, you're history. So it's not only just our earth. And what Forrest was saying about we're in danger of the earth, and right now the sun's heliosphere is retracting, so more radiation is coming in. Also, our magnetic fields are collapsing, which is exasperating it. So it is very real, not just in terms of pollution and things like this, but it is also a very real possibility if our magnetic fields can't, if they do collapse and they can't restart properly, all we have to do is look at Mars. That's what happened to Mars. And so Mars is a big lesson for us. That can happen to us. Now, it also turns out the magnetic fields of the Earth are operating in the same frequency range, 4 to about 8 hertz, as human consciousness, and especially subconscious. So in these ceremonies and things, the intention of doing these ceremonies and forgiveness and all these things is not something that just affects us in our conscious waking hours. It also is embedded in our subconscious, which sometimes might even be more powerful than our conscious. And we're walking around doing all kinds of things with it that we never dream about. There was a movie in the 1950s that really brought this up in a really interesting way. It was called, the movie was called The Forbidden Planet. And in the movie, they send out this scout ship of military guys, and they have this guys that were going to colonize the planet, right? And all of a sudden, all these people are dying. They had about 20, 25 people, and they're down to two, the scientist and his daughter. And they get there, and the scientist is explaining how this race of people used to live there called the Krell, and they're gone. And one of the last things that the Krell did was they built a machine, a huge machine. I mean, probably, I don't know, 20, 40 miles big underground. And its purpose was it could take the thoughts of anybody on the planet anywhere and manifest it into reality. Kind of like an overgrown Star Trek food replicator or whatever, you know. But the Krell, as advanced as they were, they made a mistake. That was, this machine wasn't just monitoring their conscious thoughts. It was monitoring their subconscious thoughts, and was manifesting their dreams and their nightmares. And to a certain extent, we do that too. We manifest our problems. So when we do a healing ceremony or anything like that, and we set an intention, we're starting to walk what people call the good red road and all this stuff, you know, doing things the right way with the intention. That is very powerful because it not only becomes ingrained in our conscious, but our subconscious, our superconscious, everything in between, and it becomes a way of being in life. And that is what I understand. I used to not have too much, you know, when Spirit told me to go out and get this dance and ceremony done, I thought, you know, you're picking the wrong person. I don't dance, and I don't even like dancing, and I don't really even understand this whole thing about ceremony. Who cares about a ceremony? Well, then I got a little lesson over a period of a few years.
Check her office. She has been around here a long time.
I got a lesson about, well, what is a ceremony, okay? What is a dance? What is this stuff actually doing? And what a ceremony is, from my understanding, what I was taught, and this came in from Spirit. I didn't learn it from elders or anywhere. It just, it dropped on me and to understand. And what I was kind of taught was a ceremony is an extension of your intention and you're walking your path. And what you're doing is you're enacting in the ceremony what you want to be. In other words, if you have a ceremony and it's for, you know, rain or for healing or whatever it is, you know, your ceremony is a microcosm of your life. So all you're doing in ceremony is really doing a condensed form of what you want to be and how you want to live. And your ceremony is setting that intention in every way possible. And that locks it in. It's kind of a mini contract between you and Creator. Here's what I want. And the ceremony is a way of enacting that or living it and bringing it to you, like reeling in a fish. So, and the dance, a dance done properly with the right intention and the geometry of the dance, as Robert Three Eagles and other people know, done in a certain pattern will literally connect into the pattern of creation. So it's, you're setting your intention and you're using the pattern, all the patterns that Creator uses, you're locking and linking right into that. Talk about all my relations as if you're tapped in. I mean, you're plugging in, literally. So a ceremony and dance done in the right way, with the right intention, is doing all that, and that's where it becomes very powerful. Now, if you have a ceremony, what if the intention of the ceremony is, friendship and welcome? Not just of people on Earth, but everything. Everything on the other side of the veil, this side, everything that's alive, everything in creation. And you just started out, and one of the things I was originally told, go talk to Hopi or talk some group, any group to start with, and get them to do it, and get them to work out their relationships with each other and help each other out and get that straightened out, and then bring in other tribes, and then just grow and grow and grow until almost everybody is connected into it one way or another. that was kind of the idea.
Hey, Mark?
Yeah.
Are you sure you don't have a red hat and a cloak laying around somewhere?
A what?
A red hat and a cloak? You're doing two-way brother work there.
I when I went down to Hopi, I specifically avoided wearing anything red. I didn't want to even look like I was trying to do that. But it's not important. It's kind of like the Lord of Wind and Water said, names aren't important. All this isn't important. I think that it's the spirit, it's the attitude and intention of the true white brother that can move through everybody and everyone, and everybody can be part of that if they want to do that. They're going to bring it in that way. It might be a little bit different than what people think. And so, you know, everybody in this phone call, I think, has that same attitude and moving in that same direction, probably as many other people around them. So, and that is what's starting to have an effect. People are starting to understand this, and they're starting to become aware of just how powerful, when they start to link their consciousness stuff in certain ways, what that can do. And other people like myself, who never really even valued ceremonies and all that stuff, start to understand and learn what it is too. And there's probably a lot of people like me that are picking up on this and figuring out. What I bring to the table on all this, I think, is I have what might be the new Zolk'in new calendar for the sixth sun. And I understand the geometry and math and all that. And so I can take that and then overlay that onto any ceremonies. And in essence, the way I understand what Spirit's been trying to teach me is that is how we're growing. That's where we're moving. And so you can imagine if you have what amounts to the new calendar for the next world cycle, and you use it to actually create our time, the ceremonies, you're effectively using the next world cycle's timing system as a bridge in a ceremony to move into that next world cycle. That's kind of a weird idea, I guess, but in some ways it makes some sense. And I did find one case in history where this appeared kind of maybe happened before. There was a case where, what was it, the Zuni tribe. There was a story that I just found out maybe 2 years ago. There was this old Zuni guy in the Dogwood clan, I think is what it's called. And in the story it says Spider Woman did two things. She gave him some kind of bundle, and she also whispered to him how to change their calendar. And I thought, well, I didn't get any bundle yet, but I definitely have gotten a change to a calendar. So that was the closest thing. Now, it said, I don't know all the details. I was trying to find out from the Zuni what else maybe happened, and I haven't found anybody that knows yet. But
how about Clifford Mahoudi? You ever talked to Clifford Mahoudi?
I don't know if he knows how much about it, but a little bit. But so anyway, but again, back tying this back into the whole thing with the ghost dance and friendship and welcome. I think it and what I was told to do on a dance are related to each other. There's a relationship because the intention is the same. That's what I see. The intent is the same. But you think about it, and the overall concept of all this is to use something like the dance of friendship and welcome, use the power of ceremony, and use all these people wanting to do things and pull together and unite and heal all these problems that have happened in the past. Move everybody, like Forrest said, into the center of the medicine wheel and do that in intent, and then use ceremony, dance, and who knows what else, but get it all working together. And that becomes the vehicle that moves us from one world cycle to the next. That's the concept here. And then we give birth to the new world cycle with that intention of healing and friendship and pulling everybody together in one family. And what's the center of the medicine wheel? In the Mayan tradition, it's green. Well, green is a color that indicates, in probably most people's thinking and culture, green symbolizes heart, chakra. It symbolizes healing. It also symbolizes a very healthy planet, Mother Earth, green. if she's green, she's healthy. So, yeah.
Well, I think that may be one of the reasons why. Well, there aren't a lot of medicine wheels that have green and brown, but the Katua wheel, a lot of Cherokees claim six colors, but the Katua have added a horizontal green line running from east to west, and then the bottom of the wheel is brown. It's either that or I have to take a look at it. But you know, Rabbi Michael, Rabbi Michael told me that the very first act of creation, says Creator shown a green light. That was the very first emanation, and the Muslims, that's their color. Their color is
well. It's also the color that when I was given the new glyphs for the new Zulkin, they were green, and green might have been next to the last color I would have picked if it was me. But it was interesting too, because this ties back to one of the visions I was given with the White Buffalo Calf Woman, and I just saw her dress, but there was this circle of colors on it. Well, what's interesting maybe for you, Blue Otters, this particular vision actually occurred on Nineveh.
Wow.
But it was a circle of colors, and the reason I'm remembering is because what you said about the blue, the green and the brown. Because there was a circle of color, what I saw was this circle of colors on her dress. But I noticed in the circle of colors, one of the colors was broken in half by another color, and it was brown. The blue part of the circle was being broken, not exactly in half, but it was cut in two pieces by a brown color. And for years, I wrote this. The lady that taught me drumming, visioning, she said, well, keep a journal, and if you can, not just write it down, keep a date and write it down, but she said, also, if you can, draw a picture. So I did. I drew a picture of this circle of colors, and for years, I pulled it out, I don't know, maybe 8 or 10 years later or so. Let's see, 98, and yeah, about 10 years. And I was sitting there looking at my journal, and I said, what the hell does this mean? It took me 10 years to figure out, get smart enough to ask Spirit the question, right? And so Spirit said, well, just draw a line straight through the center of the circle on both edges of the brown. Draw a line like a, you know, pie cutter thing, you know, and draw it through the center to the other side, the opposite side. Well, that's pretty simple thinking, right? So I did. Well, you know what's on the other side of the circle?
Green. No.
What it did when I did this is it created a tree. Because going through the center of the circle was the brown, and then it goes to the other side of the circle, and it's green. It's like the tree top, right? And then I thought, this is interesting. So for fun, I got out my protractor, and you know what the angle of the tree going through that circle was? Connecting the brown to the green?
No telling.
About 23.5 degrees. The axis of the Earth.
Wow. Did you ever, get on a paint or anything like that and actually make this up, digitalize it?
Yeah, yeah. I actually wrote a little writing about kind of when
reason
it
why...
happened to mine.
Reason why I ask is I've had a 12-inch deer hide drum for a long time, and just today I was thinking, I got to get some paints, and I got to do something with this blank drum. So, send that to me, because it'll be on my drum.
Can I jump in here with a second for you,
sure.
Mark?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting here and I'm trying to visually get what you're saying. And I just want to throw this out here, and because I can see where this is connecting. When we first started all this in 2009, Gail Whitlow, who's a grandmother from Oswegan, and I were driving to New Mexico. We got a phone call from a woman who is a helper to a man named Abuelo Miguel. And he had asked if he could come to our little circle, which was a shock because it was just tiny. It was the first circle we were doing for the grandmother's Circle of the Earth. And he came, and he spent 3 days with us. And he did different things with us and taught us about the long days count and things like that. And it was at the same time that we had the tsunami for Samoa. And we went up into the mountains. He took us up there, and he did a ceremony up there. And but it was like a kickoff to all the things that started happening. And as Forrest mentioned, Hemi Fox, and all of these things kind of swept up with each other, including getting ready for this event. So one of the things that we're doing, and I know I mentioned that we have people coming from all over. We have the Mamos coming from Colombia. We have people coming from Peru and the Netherlands, Thailand, from Hawaii, from Germany. We have musicians that just asked for a letter for the to go to the German Arts Council, who are funding their trip here to come to this conference. And it isn't really a conference, it's a gathering. Anyway, they're coming from all over. But what we're going to do is we're building a labyrinth. And that idea started with the children because we have a children's day. And so the children are going to begin building the labyrinth with string. And then we have a youth day, and the youth are going to begin building it with the rocks. So we've been collecting rocks. And we're asking people to bring a stone with them from wherever they are in the world. And this goes back to the middle ground and the pile of stones there for peace that disappeared at the City of Independence. And so now it's like almost like it's building up over here. But as you're talking, we're connecting to a group called Earthwalk, and they build labyrinths all over the world. And they have a huge one out in the Southwest, and they are connecting globally to build these labyrinths so that people can walk them together for peace. And they're going to coordinate times and all these other different things. And on September 21st, which is the UN Peace Day coming up, they're going to be in 20 countries by then, having built, being in the process of building all these labyrinths. I think that we should put the center of our labyrinth in green. And now I understand why, but I just have to try to figure out how to get the tree in there. So if you could put some thought to that, but I can totally
see. Well,
I'm
going to work on, can you see Blue Water's Facebook page?
I can.
Well, in a couple of minutes, I'll have an image posted on his Facebook page.
And let me tell you something else. I was looking just for fun for some reason at Pendleton blankets, and today I saw a very, and I was thinking of getting this for the center of the dance. And let me pull up here. It's very small. It's like 12 inches square, but it is. Describe this to you. Well, where the heck is it? I guess I'm gonna have to find it. But it was, as I recall. Oh, there it is. Well, I was thinking it was more green, but it isn't. Yeah, there's some very small. Yeah, I was just looking around
hey,
and.
Hey, Blue. Can I speak?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, saying something back to what Mark was talking about ceremonies and stuff, just wanted to pass some information on about ceremonies, how and why is the ceremonies. Even a simple thing in the morning, like, smudge or sweet grass before you do your morning prayer, you've got to, purify yourself a little bit before you even speak to Creator. You try to be in balance with creation. Pipe ceremony. There's a ceremony that goes through, however long it needs to before you even put up your prayers. So, because you're in balance, because you're praying with the pipe, you're praying with all the universe. Now, you go to a sweat lodge. The old teaching of the sweat lodge is you're only seeing half of it. You see in the top half. The other half, it's a sphere that goes into Mother Earth. You're crawling into the womb of Mother Earth to do your prayers. Those hot rocks that are going there are the center of the universe. And you're putting your prayers and your water in the center of the universe, and those prayers are going out. They're going blessing Mother Earth. They're going up to your attentions are going up to all of creation. But what came to me some years back is this is like an acupressure point or an acupuncture point on Mother Earth. All of these ceremonies that are going on all over Turtle Island and other parts of the world are acupuncture, acupressure points for Mother Earth for healing. Every sweat lodge, every pipe prayer, every sun dance, every ghost dance, every stomp dance, every ceremony is putting healing energy back into Mother Earth. And that's what the natives have been doing since way before recorded history, trying to keep things in balance. And we're still doing it. And that's why we do these things, is we're trying to put our energy into healing Mother Earth and keeping ourselves in balance with the whole universe and trying to get the universe in a closer balance because of all the god-awful nasty stuff that goes on all around us all the time. So just for Mark's information, this is why we do ceremony. And that's why it's important to do these ceremonies, is to try to bring some kind of balance in a world that's out of balance.
Okay, Otter, I couldn't post it on your Facebook page, Otter, so I sent you a message.
I'm sitting there looking at it. That's amazing, yeah.
So that gives kind of a quick view of kind of what it was, sort of.
Yeah,
so
that's really interesting.
We're trying to heal Mother Earth. Every ceremony is, like you said, acupuncture, pressure. And our intentions going to the universe responding back to our intentions, our prayers, and coming back like an umbrella from above and bouncing it back down onto, hopefully, the areas around us, the people around us, trying to bring some back, some... Oh, and the other thing you're talking about, the vibrations of Earth between 8 and 4 and 8, megahertz?
Yeah.
Hertz.
Very low frequency.
Yeah. Over the last 20 years, there's been several scientists said we're getting up around 12 or 13 now.
Right.
So our vibrations, our internal vibrations have had to raise in order to cope with the vibrations of the Earth increasing because of the extra activity of all the extra volcanoes and earthquakes and stuff like that. Earth is waking up, and her vibration is going up. The people that are more in tune, our vibrations are going up. The ones that are not in tune, their vibrations are actually going lower, which is why the crime rates and everything are getting out of hand, because we've got too many people that are just not in balance at all.
Well, you're talking about the Schumann resonance.
Could be.
And that's going from, was floating around 7.8 something. And they're saying it's moving up. But what's interesting is the numbers where it's moving between like 8 and 13. And those numbers also happen to be the Earth-Venus numbers. And those numbers are used for the one that they called the Lord and the Wind and the Water. That was his numbers.
Numbers
5, 8, and 13.
Yep.
Because and they related to the Earth and Venus being the morning star.
Yeah, and the cycle.
And it's interesting here we see those numbers again on the Earth frequency thing going from about 8 up to maybe 13.
Yep. Yep, you're right there.
Yeah. So, and see, that's what I'm saying is we can actually take all these ideas in awareness, and we can literally tap in to the fundamental pattern of creation, which is what the Lord of the Wind and Water was teaching us. But he told us, and this was the intent of the Gold Stance, it isn't going to do you any good unless you want to heal, you have friendship, you unite as one, and you have that attitude. If you don't have that attitude, it ain't going to help you very much.
Well,
so,
yeah, you got to have the attitude.
That's the key.
And you got to do the sacrifice. So,
yeah.
But the best way is get your butt down there in August and dance barefoot on Mother Earth with me, and let's see what we can do.
Yes, and we will feed you well.
Oh, no, no. we're going to do this like a sun dance. He's got to starve first, right?
Well, yeah, we'll feed you after we'll feed you well.
I'm just kidding. Ghost dance doesn't have rules like that. Me on Mother Earth, we'll put our best intentions down and see what happens.
Well, you
don't
want to starve Mark too much. He's already pretty
skinny. Get on down here.
What's that, Otter?
You don't want to starve Mark too much. He's as skinny as it is.
Well, okay, get a skinny ass down here. But, you know, you stomp and dance with us and put up our intentions and see what happens. You know, give it our best shot.
Yeah, we'd love to see you there, Mark. Yeah, Stranger
we'll
Things.
See what happens.
And I put that hoop up on my Facebook page, and I saw the Pendleton's big medicine blanket is primarily green.
You know what's interesting, though? Overlay that circle. I did this somewhere. Let me see where it's at. I'm trying to remember. Do I have it here? You can overlay that circle that I was given. And if you go get the circle of the out of the book, Lakota Star Theology or whatever. I forget the name of the book now.
Uh-huh.
But if you take, there's a picture in that book of the Black Hills and the Peshawar, the heart. If you overlay that circle colors as given, what you'll find is on the brown part, it'll connect Devil's Tower through the heart, and then on the other side where the green starts will be Harney Peak.
You mean Gray Butte?
Huh?
Gray Butte?
Yeah, I don't know all the names of everything, but I know that.
The word that starts with a D doesn't count. It's Gray Butte. Thank you.
Yeah.
Don't call the D word, please.
Yeah, well. actually in the book.
A lot of good things. Yeah, I know it's in the white man's book, but don't call it that. Come on.
No,
there's a lot of ceremonies going on there.
Anyway. So what's interesting is I didn't think of that myself. I just told one day, hey, go take that circle of colors and just stick it on that picture. And I did. And I go, whoa. And I started to understand what it was saying. And it was it was very interesting. I haven't figured out the whole story yet, but.
Yeah, Adam DeArmon.
I can send you that picture too, Modder, if you want me to.
Yeah, Adam DeArmon just saw your hoop, and he went, hey, time to dance. And I said,
yeah, I just saw it on Facebook
now
myself. Yep,
yeah,
it's up
Jeff
right
Garner
now. I like
it
too.
Oh, another thing, I was prompted, creator told me to bring about 10 pounds or more of cornmeal. And,
white cornmeal, got it, but anything will do.
And let's see, what was it? There's a lot of things that have been going through my head.
Yeah, no, absolutely the white cornmeal is what we've been using for a long time for the circle and for the parts inside the circle.
Is there anything special that the dancers need to bring, people that are coming to dance? Is there anything that I need to let them know?
No, it's just themselves and the instructions are very basic and do you know anybody that's got a camera drone? I was thinking, man, it might be nice to do what they did on the Billy Jack movie.
Oh, you want to get the spiral picture, huh?
Yeah, I do.
We do. We have Brian Fisher coming from Nephite Explorer, and he built his first drone camera with duct taped the camera to some stuff and had one of those little helmets, and he went up over 40 inches and an eagle chased his drone. So he's got a whole thing about himself trying to keep his drone away from the eagle. So, but he's bringing it. But I think he's got a little fancier drone now, but he'll be here. And the guy that does, what's the island for us? The Mystery of Oak Island. He'll be here. And also Kels Goodman, who does the Heartland. He'll be here. So all three of them will be here.
So there's
going to
be some documentation. Excellent. Yeah. I was hoping somebody would come with a camera drone that had a camera that was on a gimbal. And, you're looking at a minimum $300-$400 to get a decent drone that you can actually get a good picture on. But there's not a whole lot of if you look up powwow drone pictures, there's only a couple. There's one from Taos and another one from the Midwest, and I thought, wow, this really needs to be documented and covered, and that's cool. And I'll be doing on the night of the 13th, I'll be doing this program live. There, I'll just be going around interviewing folks
let's let the spirit lead. And but yeah, there's gonna be we're gonna have a lot of fun. I'm gonna bring my guitar too. I haven't broke that thing out in years.
Okay, there are a couple of things that are necessary for the ceremony. She was saying, what do the people need to bring? And they can bring it, or we can do it for them. You know, like at the TSA checkpoints there at the airport, they can go through an anti-ego machine because they can't bring an ego into the circle. So we'll have to go through an anti-ego machine and magnetically zap that out of them. And then they have to go through a humility shower, so they're wrapped in humility and drenched with it when they walk in. That's all I need is lack of ego and humility, and then they can.
You know, I was thinking maybe we could get like a balloon arch with 7 different colors of helium balloons, and we can make that the, you know, something like that. Make it fun. I don't know.
You guys are getting way out there.
Well, I'm serious. I'm serious. If you come in with ego, you're screwed. If you come in with humility, things will work well. It's as simple as that.
But yeah, I got my a nice abalone shell and some white sage. Everybody's gonna be bringing that. I'm a prayer fan and is there gonna be anything like a grand entry or I don't know what you got planned for? Because I have my uniform from the guard and. And I've done honor guard, and I didn't know whether you're going to have anything like that or not, but thought I'd mention it.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how exactly the opening will be, but I know we are having something, you know, similar to the grand entry. That's going to be under the World Council. Saginaw Grant is going to be doing the welcoming because he's Sac at Fox. And I'm not quite sure how everything else is going to go, but I will definitely talk to you about that. And Forrest is our grounds guy, so he'll know too. So.
Okay, cool. I'll bring it all.
I'm not quite sure what to call him, but whatever it is, I lean heavily on Forrest. So, but we'll definitely keep you in the loop on that.
Well, we'll make sure you're gonna have to wear that feather in your hat, man. Everybody's gonna need to know who to follow.
He's going to get the T-shirt, too.
I have to get a T-shirt?
Yep.
Okay, I already got the hat with the feather in it. Kind of looks like the one you posted a few weeks ago. Black, flat-brimmed. Yeah, I already got one of those.
Oh, you got one of those? Well, you could get... I know a place where you can get the Billy Jack hat band for like $35. So if you want one of those, let me know, man.
The feather is a good enough decoration. It's an honorary feather.
Gotta have something to stick it in, though.
Oh, it's already stuck in. It's been there for years. It's been around for a while. It's been to many ceremonies, so yes, it'll stay stuck for one more time.
Oh, sounds good. And did everybody see Tom Laughlin's brother put up just in the last couple of weeks, apparently. It's called BillyJackWrites.com. Pictures of Andy Vidovich and filming of the ghost dance. And I put them up. They're on my Facebook page if you scroll down a little bit. But yeah, they just popped up here recently. So that's Tom Laughlin's brother. Tom Laughlin passed away, but his brother has got a website up there with a lot of good photographs. That weren't up before, including, like I said, Andy Vidovich. And it was Andy. I was thinking it might have been Rolling Thunder standing up on the edge of the pit, but it was Andy. And that would have been his place because he was the one that was directing things.
Okay, yeah, I saw that picture.
Yeah, very informative.
I thought it was Andy and Rolling Thunder, but I'd have to go back.
Well, yeah, Rolling Thunder was in there. Rolling Thunder was the guy that had the... Like it was a fedora with just a straw, you know, not with a big brim, but he just had, you know, a straw hat. And Andy was the one that looked obviously like an Indian, you know, being Cherokee. RT looks as Irish as he does Cherokee. So
yeah, well, but I got that problem too.
Well.
You know, when I was younger, I didn't look, you know, anything like an Indian. But I have, as I get older, friends are telling me more and more. I noticed somebody commented they saw my picture and thought I looked Hawaiian or I don't know. My grandfather, my mother's father, I've got a picture of him and he's like 25 and he was, you know, Dutch, but he very obviously had kind of crazy eyes, you know, and he looked like he had had the blood. So it shows up. And actually had my dentist tell me, he said, you know, that tooth that's just behind your eye tooth. I said, yeah. And he says it came in backwards. And I said, oh, that's interesting. And then later on I mentioned that I had some native blood. He says, oh, that explains the tooth. He says that's a native trait, and then when I was younger, I had the Mongolian spot. It was below my left kidney. And like 80% of people have got that, and that's kind of interesting. And
named for a lot of old, you know, settlers back in 1800s, and so there were Black Dutch. You know, it went for a lot of different Indians, Cherokees, and whoever, Shawnees. Oh, we're Black Dutch.
yeah.
Whatever that was. Most of the Dutch were blonde, but whatever.
I'll tell you that my first field director in the Boy Scouts, full-blood German, his name was Mitch Preuss. He was from the Preuss family. They more or less ran the Lutheran Church and the Prussian Empire. But this guy had hair the color of literally of wheat straw, but I swear he had a really dark complexion. It was really wild. I've never seen anybody like him. Really interesting guy. And, you know, they say the old hunter-gatherer people from several thousand years ago, they might have been blue-eyed, but they had dark complexions.
Yeah, it can happen if you're outdoors all day.
Well, this guy, you know, he was, that was just his natural, you know, he worked in an office, you know, like most people do, and played a little soccer, but really kind of interesting guy. But apparently those the race of Northern Europeans that they competed with the Neanderthal, I guess they won all, but they had the epicanthal fold over their eyelids and that much people. But yeah, Preuss came from a very, very old European line. Well, yeah, I'm getting excited. In 5 weeks, we'll be there.
Yay. I'm excited that you're coming.
Well, I haven't been out, and, you know, I've been going to the sacred fire for the last couple, 3 years, I guess it's been. And over in North Carolina, I have to miss it this year, and because it's going to be the next weekend. But it's just wow, it's really interesting, and there's a lot of ghost dances. Well, sure. Susan, tell us about the dance. Now you went to a ghost dance here just a couple of weeks ago, right? Where was that? Tell us about that.
Well, actually, I ended up not going, but it was up there at Pipestone, Minnesota, at a man named Leon's place. And I had wanted to go, and then, you know, I just have to really stay focused on that, and I got that really clear. I need to stay focused on what's happening here. So somebody went on up in my place and did the opening prayer, and she said it was just phenomenal. It was great. I think there were close to 200 or 300 people there. It was just one day.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was, but it went really well. And Mary Lavin was the leader for that. And she's, I think, coming down here, didn't she say, Forrest? She spoke to Forrest a few times. And I think she's trying to come down for this and to meet you guys in particular. So, and Mark, you are coming, right? Are we going to be having you here with us?
Well, we'll see on that. I'm not sure.
Well, he needs some, you know, learn some more lessons of ceremony. He said he was low in that category, so here's a good chance to learn some.
Forrest will be watching for you, Mark, so you need to come for sure. But it's going to be It's going to be great. And no, I didn't get to go, but I heard it came out really well. This is all new to me. I Sundance up at Blackfoot on the Blood Reserve in Kainai. And so this is exciting to me that we're doing this here. And I just know that it's going to be just beautiful. Circles upon circles upon circles. It's going to be wonderful. So.
Yeah. And, well, there was a lot that happened in 1890. And, you know, I could go, you know, 30 minutes on that, you know, with what happened with that in Salt Lake City. And I'll talk to you about that later.
I'm excited.
part of it's written in LDS history, and part of it that lines up with what is recorded, that's official, is actually carried forth by the families, and they're filled in quite a few blanks. But if what Mooney recorded is true, this is an ordinance. Now, this would be an ordinance that the church should be doing. But
I think it's happening. I think there's no coincidence to any of that. And I will tell you this, that when Wayne May and I first started having this idea, and it was back in January, it was just going to be that 3-day conference. It wasn't even going to be that. It was going to be 2 days and just a few of his guys coming, and then suddenly it just went whoop and jumped into this. But we had made a decision that even though we're in the heartland of Mormondom here, you know, the cornerstone of Zion out this way, we were not going to, you know, push that it's a Mormon conference, because it's not. It's not an LDS conference at all, and it was never the intention. And so we decided that, you know, we were just going to fly under that radar, which is interesting because the church is giving us the conference center for 11 days and not charging us to keep everybody nice and cool with the air conditioning and the kitchen. And it's going to be great. Anyway, so it turned out that the very first person that I asked what they were going to speak about is a Mohawk grandmother who said that she's going to talk about the golden plates that are buried in a hill, or were buried in a hill in upstate New York in Iroquois territory, which I thought was very interesting. And so from then, all of these connections have come along. But, you know, I really want to reiterate that it's not a religious conference or a church conference in any way. But, you know, there are layers upon layers. Chiasmus, isn't that the word, blue
That's
water?
Right. That's right.
There are layers upon layers. And we know that there are things coming up from under the ground. I will tell you that across the river at this temple site that has been doused out by Wayne, and since then seers have come down from Mandan, Hidatsa, Sioux, Mohawk, and the things that they have seen over there, which include giants and, you know, we've seen Mayan dancers. Somebody saw Quetzalcoatl with all these different beautiful feathers, and just all these different things that are coming up layers and layers from under the earth. And down here by the river at the Red Brick Store, they have artifacts down in the basement that I don't believe are on public display, but they carbon date back over 5,000 years. And so this area here is heavily layered with things that go long before what we expect to find, you know, even in a Hopewell mound. So we're here for a reason, and I was told by Kahuna Pihia on the island of Oahu in Hawaii that the people here who are at the mounds, the people who belong to these mounds, that they're wide awake and waiting. They're waiting for the rightful owner to come, and when that time comes, there's going to be a total connection between heaven and earth. And when Elizabeth Babin comes down, she's one of our grandmothers from Wagoshik, which is 9 hours north of Toronto. She carries the Star Lodge, and it's an ancient lodge, and she'll be building it right down there on the grounds by you guys. And she's going to be doing the Star Lodge teachings, and when Janice Rose comes, he did a film called The Genetic River, and he ties our DNA literally out to the stars. So we are just like what you said, Mark. You know, we have no really, I think we are not able to truly fathom everything. And maybe even when it's happening, we won't. But it doesn't matter because...
Well, it's that phrase, omatakiasana, and in the Kesh, and all the words that people sort of have for it. Another way of saying it is everything is in everything else.
Absolutely.
Literally. So we just quite aren't aware of it, but everything is so connected. My understanding is you could take the smallest fragment of yourself, everybody listening, anybody on the planet, or anything anywhere, it could take the smallest fragment, and within that you could generate the entire creation.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So
everything has a magnetic field, and every magnetic field is connected to every other one. Absolutely.
So
we are seeing
or the way,
consciousness. Yeah, absolutely.
So when someone like Black Elk says, this is the center, and he walks over 300 yards or so away, this is the center of the universe, and he walks away over another 300 yards, says, this is the center, and the newspaper reporter looks like he's, hey, Black Elk, how much have you had to drink here? he's telling the truth.
Yeah. And that's what we'll see. That's what we'll see at this conference. I believe this with all my heart. I had the weirdest experience recently. I passed myself in a corridor. It was the strangest feeling. I walked right past me. And that's the type of thing that's happening here. I don't understand any of it. I'm proud and happy to say I don't get it at all. But that's the best part, because then you just surrender. And that's what's going to happen. I know there's going to be some amazing, beautiful things. They already are happening. So.
Yeah. Well, it's like the dream I had last night. I was somehow on a front end of a locomotive, and the grass, I was literally hanging on to the coupling in the front, sitting on it, and the engineer knew I was there. He was going slow, and the grass was just thick. It was like 3 feet tall in between the tracks and alongside the tracks, and we're only going maybe 1 mile an hour. I came and it came across, there was this little tiny buffalo, and he stopped for the buffalo. And then some of the buffalo, well, that was resolved, and we moved a little bit further, and then I heard Dr. Rogers' voice say, "You're on the quartz." So I looked up all those dream interpretations. It was kind of interesting, but it does pay to look at your dreams. Well, look, we're about out of time. We could go now unless anybody got anything else they want to say.
Just that I can't wait to see you guys. I'm the woman. I got to have the last word. Yay, I can't wait until you get here.
You said you were going to do that yesterday. You were going to get the last word in.
Well, one thing, Otter, is this is starting on the 11th, right?
Yes, so you need to be here no later than the 10th because...
When does
the
it run
ceremony.
Through? How many days does it go?
It actually begins the morning of the 11th and it ends at noon on the 21st, which is Sunday.
Hold on,
so,
let me pull that up because I'm looking up something here.
He's looking for my calendar right now.
And so you could bunk with me, Mark. I'm going to try to get in there in the evening of the 9th.
What's interesting about this is it's going to start on a. In a traditional Mayan takeout on a 7 Malak, which would be, it's the center of the Akbal or the dreaming and intuition and all that cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the other part of it, so it's in the center on a day Malak cycle or day, which is that has to do with kind of the past and also purification of things. So basically from that point of view, this thing's starting on like a purification. It's ending on, you said the 21st?
Yes.
So that'll be on a four quack, which is a thunderstorm glyph. And
wow.
That is probably almost half of the white buffaloes have been born on that particular glyph.
Wow.
So
see,
that's
I love you,
now.
Mark. You are so cool. You already know more about me almost than my husband does.
Well,
I just love it that you can do this.
Well, it's not me. I just...
It's the calendar. The calendar knows.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. When you're ringing a song, you're just ringing a song, and so that's it. But Blue Otter, I don't know if this means much to any of the other people except for Otter. But the day that this starts on, these days are also paralleling identically. It's a perfect match for the days that Sister Lucia of Fatima literally wrote down the third secret.
Yeah, you were telling me that.
These days are an exact following that exact cycle, that exact timing. It's a perfect match.
Uh-huh.
So that might have something to do with it too. And she wrote, one of the things she wrote in her diary around that point in time, she said there would be a purification.
Wow.
And she described some of it, which is kind of traumatic, but anyway, so so it's interesting. There's several parallels here going on. Anyway.
Well, Lee Standing Bear.
So do we get nervous? Are we supposed to be nervous, or is this a good thing? Will, you're going to have to tell
me. Well, I would say it's good.
Yeah, Lee Standing Bear said, you know what, he just said it'll be sudden, but, you know, we'll just literally wake up in a new world.
Wow.
And didn't, you know, seem to be hurtful. And, you know, Scripture, you know, talks about the wicked being removed from first. It's it's the opposite of the rapture doctrine. And so, you know, maybe that'd be all right with me.
Yeah, well, we'll all be together dancing.
That's right.
All right, beautiful. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much, and we'll see you soon, and we'll talk to everybody next week. Bye-bye now.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us, and you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now.
difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth.
Friends, this is Will Blue Otter, encouraging you to obtain an authorized participant or AP card and become a federally recognized Native religious practitioner. Presently, Aqua Native American Church is the only Native American church spiritually blessed by the Rosebud Reservation Native American Church and has a certificate of existence in the state of Utah that is authorized to worship on or off tribal grounds and has met the standard of sincerity and vow of poverty standards in the state of Utah and federal courts. This card is designed to assist all people regardless of their racial makeup, political affiliation, social and/or financial status, and receiving their constitutional rights. This card is also designed to assist United States judicial officials to honor their solemn oath to protect and exercise the principles of the United States Constitution while carrying out their duty and serving their fellow citizens. To join the movement that is strengthening and exercising the principles of the United States Constitution, please obtain your AP card by visiting NativeAmericanChurch.us today.
Dry ground, sagebrush and mesquite and chaparral around, out away's a big dust devil moving on its way. I guess they're never still. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. The high grass and the cedar, the mighty oak and the tiny flower, the sandstone in the valley, the mountains high and running streams. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. In it.